Morning.
Good morning.
Aiden, I see you're bringing your friends. That's good. Today, my sermon is called Safety Third. It's just a short message here, and I just have one scripture here, which is Psalms 139, 23, verses 24. You can just write that down if you want. It just says, search, and this is, of course, King David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so, who here knows that, you always hear about safety first, on job sites and everything, it's always safety first. Well, have you ever heard of Mike Rowe? So, and of course, if you know him, you probably know the show that he was famous for called Dirty Jobs. And so he would go to all these different jobs, like construction sites and the maintenance crews on like high bridges and all these areas that were hazardous, so to speak. A lot of, injuries could happen. And so every time they would go on one of these sites, they always had to go through some sort of safety training course or something, sit there through somebody giving them all safety stuff. And what's kind of funny is he even talked about some, not common sense stuff, like they had to wear a life jacket in 10 inches of water, or they had this scaffolding that's only like 4 feet off the ground, and yet they had this like 10-foot rope or something where it's like, if they fell off, that rope's not going to do anything. So there's a lot of like, stupid type of safety requirements. Well, he said that about season four, they were doing fine through the first three seasons. About season four, all of a sudden, him and his crew started getting injuries all the time. And they were kind of wondering why, and they figured out that it's because they started relying on all these other people telling them how to be safety, And so they started thinking, well, without realizing it, well, everybody else kind of got to my back. They're going to take care of me, They're going to they're basically giving their safety into somebody else's hands. And so it became like a safety third thing. Like instead of them being safety of their own, then they were relying on somebody else. And so spiritually speaking, I think this can happen to Christians. So, you can get saved. People, when they get saved, they're on fire for God, and they go after God. But then as time goes on, just like as these seasons went on, as time goes on in a Christian's life, they kind of get complacent, and they, maybe they come to church, but they start, instead of seeking truly after God, David said, search my heart, O God. They just come to church, and they rely on sometimes too much on other people to sort of, well, I'll just rely on them to tell me what to do, how to get to heaven, instead of relying on their own. But then there's the opposite effect of this. If safety becomes such a priority that somebody's only focused on then on themselves, then they leave out others. And so it's like you have to have safety third can seem like a bad thing, but it's also can be a good thing, because he was also talking like, well, like if you think about somebody who puts so much emphasis on safety, then they're not going to step out and do anything. Like if you think about somebody, like I don't know, if you a race car driver, for instance, there's a lot of safety that goes into that. Yet if they were so concerned about their safety, they wouldn't even get in the race, in the car to race. So even though you got to be concerned about yourself, you have, God requires, nobody else can save you, nobody else can get you to heaven except for you believing in Jesus Christ. And so but at the same time, you can't be so focused on your own self that you forget others around you. So that's my message today, is that you got to think of safety third in a spiritual sense, where you're accountable for your own self. When you get to heaven and you stand before God, nobody else, nobody can step in that place for you. Jesus Christ was the only one that did that. And so it's you and God. And so that's so important to remember, that you're accountable for your own spiritual life today. But then, like I say again, it's a body of Christ. So at the same time, we got to be there to help others when they're in need. So, and that is it.
Morning, everyone. That was good. I enjoyed that. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so this week we're on the Fruit of the Spirit series, and we're going to talk about faithfulness. Okay, so would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 6? And I'm going to be using the English Standard Version most of the time today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And I just want to point out sowing and reaping. So when you go into any farmer's field, anywhere, if you see these trees that are over here on the tree farm, whatever is sown is reaped. So, for example, we have apple trees over here. They produce apples, right? If we had an apple tree and we had pear trees and our apple trees produced pears instead of apples, then there would be something seriously wrong. It would not be right, correct? Well, it's the same way in the spiritual sense. If you are sowing the word of God, if you are sowing good things into this world, if you are sowing good things into your flesh and spirit, out of it will come good things out of your flesh and spirit. Out of it will come fruit of the Spirit and not works of your flesh, okay? Yep. So, for example, out of our spirit comes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These come from our spirit, but our flesh was born under corruption. Our flesh was born into sin because of what Adam did at the very beginning. Because he sowed sin and committed sin at the very beginning, we have reaped that generation to generation, right? But Jesus changed that when he died on the cross. So he took what was sown in the flesh, and instead he transformed that, and now he's sown into the Spirit to bring life. So instead of death coming into our lives, we now reap life, okay? So faithfulness, it means fidelity, loyalty, firm adherence to allegiance and duty, truth, veracity, strict adherence to injunctions, or to the duties of a station, like when you work for someone, it's important for you to be faithful. Strict performance of promises, vows, or covenants. For example, when you're married to someone, you make that vow to be faithful to them, right? Constancy in affection or diligence. You know, we all have friends in our lives. We all have family members, and how important it is for them to be faithful to us, right? We want their love shown to us by being faithful, right? And when they are faithful, we're close, right? When they're not, there's a bridge there. So the opposite of faithfulness, these are the antonyms: falseness, disloyalty, infidelity, faithlessness, dishonesty, deceit, betrayal, corruption, hypocrisy, double standards, dishonor. Amen. None of these are good things, right? But I also want to bring out idolatry. And this is out of the Greek definition of it. It means worshiping spirits, false gods, persons, images, or anything else instead of the one true God. Idolatry is also an issue whenever someone or something is loved, trusted, or given importance over God, allowing anyone or anything to have equal or greater influence or authority than God and His Word is the most subtle form of idolatry. And whether we realize it or not, having any kind of idols in our lives actually becomes unfaithfulness to the Lord. It becomes what we do is we put, we know we love God and he is important to us, right? But there are all of these things around us in this world. And we start to put little things above him. We start to put the fun things in our lives. We start to put our jobs in front of him. We start to put our affection for others in front of him. We start to put entertainment in front of him. And before we know it, we have become unfaithful to God. And that part of us is because we are sowing into the things of this world instead of sowing into our relationship with the Lord, right? If we are not faithful to God, faithful to our family, faithful to the body of Christ, then we are being faithful to something. Your attention is going to be demanded by something, right? Even if that means only yourself. If that means only you are getting the attention of yourself, that's just selfishness. So if you, even if you don't hang out with anybody, if you're at home by yourself, then all of your attention is on yourself. You are being faithful to yourself. And that's it. If all of your attention is on everything at work, if it's only about your job, if it's only about school, about how good my education is going to be, I got to get this scholarship, I got to get this thing in my life, I got to get to this college or this school in order to be successful. If that consumes all of your focus, then you are faithful to that, and that only, and that has become a god in your life, right? If you have a relationship with someone, whether that be a boyfriend or girlfriend or a husband or wife even, or your kids or someone in your family that is really important to you. If you put all of your focus and all of your energy into only that person, then that person, you become faithful to only that person, and that person becomes a god in your life. And that may seem like, well, I'm supposed to be faithful in a relationship. Yes, you are. But if that person becomes higher than God in your life, then that will destroy you. Because God, out of God comes everything that is good. But if your faith is in a person who fails, who has faults of their own, if your faith is in them, and then they fail you, your heart will be destroyed because your trust has been in a person instead of in God. Amen? It's the same way, vice versa, when somebody has put all of their faith in you, when someone believes that you are the best person in the world. Have you ever known like when people in the world, there's like famous Hollywood stars and basketball players and famous singers and they have all these idols, or I mean, they're the idols to other people, right? And then they mess up and do something really bad. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're terrible, you know, and it's like, oh, that person's a horrible person. And it's like, well, if you've put your faith in that person and they've become an idol to you, and then they mess up and do something wrong, where is your heart at? Are you trusting in that person to be everything to you? Are you trusting in that person to be perfect? You know, no, you're not. But you are if you believe that that person is higher than God in any part of your life. If you put all of your attention on whoever that famous person is and think, I want to be like them when I grow up, or I wish I was like them or had what they have, then whether you realize it or not, you're actually putting your faith in that person, right? John 13:34. You can go ahead and turn there. John chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 34. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So Jesus, he tells us not to put anything above God. He says, put God first. Amen. But then he goes beyond that and says that we must love each other. And sometimes, even in the church, we focus on we have to get everything right for God and be so perfect. And we come to church because God makes us come to church. We have to be there. We have to get this right for God. We have to do this exact right thing for God. And then we forget about the people around us. And Jesus is like, we must love each other. And the reason why that is because all of the world will know that we are his disciples based on our love for each other. Isn't that incredible? Based on how each one of us here love each other is how the world will know that we are his disciples. And I think that's really, really powerful because, yes, we are to share our testimony. And yes, we are to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if we can't love each other, then the world will not truly know that we are his disciples. They will not truly know that we have made the choice to follow Jesus. And that's what sets us apart. Do we love each other? Are we faithful to each other? Is that faithfulness coming out of our spirit to each other, right? When we sow hatred, strife, and evil into our lives, it doesn't only destroy our lives, but also the lives of those around us. Corruption from sin destroys relationships, finances, health, futures, visions, dreams, and even our posterity. It even destroys our children. I've seen lives of Christians destroyed just because they would rather chase sin than live in righteousness, because all of their focus and their faithfulness it's not faithfulness to God anymore. Their faithfulness becomes only to themselves. They're faithful to themselves. We need the strength of the Lord of his spirit to overcome the power of sin in our lives. We need the strength of the word to overcome temptation and to remind us what happens when we give into our flesh instead of our spirit. Amen? Amen. I want you to turn to James chapter 1. Again, I'm reading this out of the English Standard Version. James chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt anyone. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brothers." Amen. To do as Jesus says is to deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily. Corruption is the deterioration of moral principles. That's what corruption means. The wages of sin is death. It does not happen overnight. Wages means something that has been worked for before it is received, right? You go to work and you have to work for a certain amount of time before you receive your wage. And that is the way sin works. You sin for a while and you think, oh, nothing's coming of this. I can keep getting away with this. I don't need to get my heart right. I don't need to change because nothing bad has happened. But I guarantee you, because the wages of sin is death. At some point in your life, you will receive eternal death, right? That may not be easy to hear, but it is the truth. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, I read a couple weeks ago, it says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." So when we are corrupted, we, instead of living by our spirit, we are living by our flesh. And the more and more that we choose to follow the things of this world and satisfy our flesh and make it seem like, well, you know, I just want to have fun in life. And yes, you should, because God made this world for us to enjoy, right? He created this entire world for us to enjoy. And just a quick side note, did anybody see the rainbows on, I think it was Friday night? The rainbows outside after it rained. How incredible and awesome was that? It almost looked like there was a rainbow sunrise. It was just awesome. And that blessed me. And I just thoroughly enjoy God's creation. I love having fun outside and being outside. And Mandy and I both, we just enjoy that. You know, she's very adventurous. We love doing that. But that's not number one in our lives. God is number one. And so even though we enjoy those things, we know that God made this earth for us to enjoy, right? So our heart is appreciative each and every time a rainbow is in the sky. Each and every time we see the mountains in Colorado that are extremely majestic and beautiful, we're like, God did that for us to enjoy. When we're on the beach and the sands are white and the ocean is clear, what a blessing that is to know that God created that for us to enjoy. When we go walking in this area, we love this area. This is special to us because it's out in the country and there's not very many people out here. And sometimes to get away from the city and just to enjoy being out here and God's creation, it's wonderful. But if we only focused on that, we would miss out on the bigger picture of why God created that for us in the beginning. God created that for us to know that he loves us, number one, but that he wants us to enjoy those kind of things forever. Not just in this short life, but forever. And not just in this little bit, but can you imagine what heaven is like? Can you imagine how awesome it is? Mandy and I were talking about how there's so many colors in the rainbow. People like to limit it to just a certain amount, but we don't even know. There's colors that we can't even really tell how amazing it is. And I was telling her about how people go to heaven, and the first thing that they notice is the colors that are in heaven. How it's like there's more colors than we can even imagine. Because the light of God is the purest light. And it is from light that comes all of color, right? Have you ever seen when sunlight shines through a prism and all of the colors? Well, God is the purest light. And God brings forth the purest color. Amen? All right, so let's keep going with this. So most of us got saved because we realized that our lives were headed in a bad direction and we needed help. We had a conviction, a knowledge of sin in our lives that gave us the desire to want to be free from it. So how come we find ourselves drawn back to sin that we thought we overcame? When we say, Jesus, I thought I overcame this. I received you into my life because I know I needed help. We are drawn back to sin by lust of the flesh, right? And that's what we just read out of James, and I'm going to read that again. It says, "But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed." And what that means is the reason why we keep sinning is because we are attracted to that sin, because it looks good to us still. And the only way to be truly delivered from that, to be truly changed, is by the word of God. when we know that this is wrong, but we want to keep doing that, we have to trust in the Lord to change that part of our hearts so that we don't want to do that anymore, right? And we can't do that ourselves. You know, like, it's like telling someone, because Michael brought up race car driving, I'm going to bring that again. It's like telling Dale Earnhardt when he was racing and he was the prize of the world, you know, best race car driver, to tell him that he couldn't race anymore. To tell him, hey, you're going to die on this track. It's going to take your life. And to tell him that he couldn't race anymore, he never did. He kept racing until his death. And does that mean that we could have forced him? No, Dale, in the future, you will die on this track. You cannot be here. You cannot stop doing, you have to stop doing this. It is going to take your life. And did he ever stop? No. Because that desire of his heart was so strong that was the number one thing in his life, right? And I don't know if any of you guys know Dale Earnhardt Jr., right? Is it Jr.? He's not a third. So Dale Earnhardt Jr. raced and raced and raced, and then he gave it up. But for him, it was different. He kept the safety in his heart that he knew that he could lose his life on the track, and it wasn't going to be number one in his life to where it would take him away from his family. That's the difference. And that is how it is with our lives. Sometimes we sin, and people are like, if you keep going down that road, you're going to lose your life on that road. Why would you keep doing that? Why would you keep going in that direction? Why won't you just stop doing that? If it's in your heart, you're going to keep doing that. But just like Dale Earnhardt Jr., he saw what it did to his father, and he realized, I don't think I want to lose my life on the track. I think I'm comfortable with, I love racing, but it is not going to dominate my life to where I'm going to lose my life. I am going to keep every standard of safety, and when it's time for me to retire, I'm going to choose to do that. And he did. Does he still love racing? You know he does. But he knows in his heart that it is, he knew in his heart, he said it, he knew it was time, and he was ready to stop. And that's where in our lives, yes, we see these things that are going on, and they are wrong. And if we keep heading down those routes and we know that we need to stop, we can't put our faith in ourselves to make ourselves stop. It is only through the power of Jesus Christ that real transformation comes, that real transformation happens in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. We cannot change ourselves. Only Jesus can change us. Amen. For faithfulness to come forth from our spirits, we must be walking in the Spirit. If we are walking in the flesh, then we are giving into the temptation of lies, of double standards, hypocrisy, laziness, pride, and jealousy. We are actually giving ourselves into that. Jesus made a way for escape of this drawing away through the power of his word. He made a way for escape. His word says that sowing into the flesh reaps corruption. But if we truly believe his word, if we truly believe it, then it transforms our hearts into desiring a godly character instead of a worldly character. What is in your heart? What do you desire? What is it that God has been speaking to you over and over again? What has he said, hey, I know you enjoy doing that, but it shouldn't be number one in your life anymore. I know that you want to do that and you enjoy the pleasure that it brings you, but it is destroying your life. And at some point, the wages of sin is death, and you will reap that, right? You have to make that decision if you will keep going on that road. Psalm 36:5. This is God talking about God's faithfulness to us. All right? Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I want to encourage you. Yes, God is faithful to you. He is faithful. He is calling you to be faithful to him. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. He is always there. He is speaking to your heart, even when you are running away from him. You know, it says, I think I was last week, I was talking about how the sheep, that one sheep that was in the flock of 100, that one sheep, Jesus said he would leave the 99 for that one, because that one sheep is so important to him. You are so important to him, each and every one of you. When you don't feel important to anyone else, you are important to God. He loves you deeply. The whole chapter of Psalm 89 talks about God's faithfulness, but I just want to read one verse. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. What is coming out of your mouth? What is in your heart? Are you speaking of what God has done in your life, or are you speaking of what other people have done to you? What is in your heart? Psalm 92 talks about continually singing to the Lord for his faithfulness. Lamentations 3:23, from that comes the song, Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. It is awesome. It is more powerful than any faithfulness in any part of this world. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? And I'm going to Esterize this. A lot of people like to talk about themselves. Yeah. But nobody likes to show up at work. I have lived this. I have lived this. And when I would hire people, it was, in fact, this one girl is my favorite story. Her name was Erica. Hopefully someday she listens to this. I think that'd be funny. So Erica, I interview her, and she's just a wonderful girl, very, very nice, talking about the jobs that she's had and what she could do. And she says she really, really needs this job. And I'm like, okay, I need someone. You can start on Monday. So she comes in on Monday for, I think she was late. She comes in, she works for 4 hours, but she did good. It wasn't terrible. Being late is always terrible to me, but she worked for 4 hours, and she just seemed like she really enjoyed herself, and she's like, I'll be here tomorrow. I can't wait for tomorrow. And the next day she did not show up, and I called her. I never heard from her again. And I just think about this, you know, I don't know what happened to her, and I pray for her. I don't know. Anything could have happened to her, and I'm not going to judge because I didn't know her really that well. But it's amazing how we will talk about ourselves to everyone else, and we'll talk about our own goodness. We'll say how awesome we are. You know, we'll be like, we want these friends in our lives, or we want this job, or we want this relationship. And so we'll talk about ourselves to tell people how wonderful we are and all of these accomplishments that we've had in our lives. And we'll do this over and over again. But are we actually faithful? Will we actually show up? Amen. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And what this means is sometimes a friend will tell you the truth and you don't like it. Sometimes they will tell you, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You should not go there. Why are you doing that? You need to stop that. And you may think, oh, You're ridiculous. Like, you're not really my friend. If you were my friend, then you would go with me, or you would do this with me. But they really are your friend because they are seeing what's going to happen if you do that. And they care about you and they love you. And they're telling you, hey, I don't want you to go through that. If you go in that direction, it's not going to be good for you, right? And it says the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And what that means is the enemy, he wants to destroy your life. So he will make everything around you look attractive and amazing and like you have to have this next big thing or you have to have this person in your life. You have to have that relationship. And in the end, that person will destroy your life because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't come to give you life. And so he deceives you by making you think that everything else is wonderful and everything else is attractive and everything else is tempting and you could just follow that temptation, right? Don't do it. Matthew 25 verse 21 says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And this comes out of the story of the talents. So in Matthew 25, you can read the whole story of the talents, and also in Luke 16. This is an incredible story because God has placed in each one of us a talent. Some have different talents. Some have different, we can call them sizes, but they're just what you're going to do in your life, your spectrum of people, your influence. It's different for everyone, right? And if we are faithful in our influence, if we are faithful in our talents, if we are faithful with what God has given us, and we increase and we give out instead of the man who had one talent, he received that talent. So he got it from the Lord. It's like he came to church and he received salvation, but he only kept it for himself, never told anyone about it. He was so scared to do anything with it. He thought that for sure that the master would be like, well, you didn't do a good enough job. You didn't do this right. You're going to lose it. But instead, because he put his faith in himself that he could protect his own salvation, that he could be good enough on his own, that somehow the Lord would be pleased with his life. But he wasn't. Jesus told him, you were supposed to give this away. You were supposed to, and you didn't. You were supposed to multiply it, and he didn't. So just think about that. What has God given you? What are you using that God has given you? Are you actually using it? Is it important to you that you want to use it for the Lord, right? 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ." And once again, God does not leave you. He does not forsake you. You are not alone. And then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "As a steward of the gospel," this is from verses 1 and 2, "we are to be faithful." And I'm going to leave you with that. Whatever you hear from the word of God, when it goes into your heart, you are a steward of that word in your heart. Whatever has been spoken to you from what God, whether it be here on Sunday or someone in your life has spoken the word of God into your life, you become a steward of that word. In your heart, you decide, what am I going to do with this? Am I going to let God change my life? Am I going to depend on him to change this part of me that I can't change on myself by myself? Am I going to depend on the Lord to change the people in my life that I know I can't change? Am I going to depend on the Lord for the future that he has for me, right? What are you going to do with the word of God that has been given to you? What are you going to do with it? Think about that. Every time you open his word, every time you pray to him, every time that someone talks to you, what are you going to do with that word? It's like when your parents tell you, you need to do this and this and this. And then you turn 18. And you're like, well, I'm going to do whatever I want because I'm 18 and I can make my own decisions. If you listen to the good that they have spoken to you, then you will reap good. But if you do not listen to the good and you listen to the bad, what are you going to reap? Bad. You're going to reap corruption. So take today from his word what he is speaking to you, that he loves you, he cares about you, he has a purpose for your life. Amen. He cares about the little things and the big things. When other people are saying, no, you're not important. There's nothing good about you anymore. You've messed up. You've gone too far. You're just not important. When people have told you that, those are lies. God only speaks goodness. He speaks that he loves you and cares about you, that all things work together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. Do you love him today? Amen. You can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. And I want to encourage you that God does hear your heart. When you feel like nobody else hears your heart and nobody else understands what you're going through, Jesus hears your heart. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you, Lord, that you do hear us. We thank you, Jesus, that you are right here with us, that you are speaking to us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that your word is sown in each of our hearts, and it will bring forth eternal life. We thank you, Jesus, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that each and every person here is drawn close to you, Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, that you are our healer, that each and every person here is healed by Jesus' stripes. Lord Jesus, touch our bodies. In Jesus' name, renew what needs to be renewed. Bring life to what has fallen apart in our lives. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I do have one announcement before you leave. Next week, Oksana and Boaz will be here on Mother's Day. Okay, so we'll be happy to see them. Right? You're dismissed.